We are in a battle, a fierce war, in fact. You had better put your armor on, or you might not make it.
What is spiritual warfare? When a Christian refers to spiritual warfare, what they're talking about is this battle that takes place in the unseen world. We know that the evil one is a created being. He is not equal with God. He doesn't have the same attributes of God, yet he's a lot more powerful than we are. And so the Satan and his minions want to oppress your life as believers.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jill Martin Rishi joins Jan to discuss with Eric Barger his new book, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare. The conversation today focuses on how Satan works among us and the seriousness of knowing how to respond to his attacks. You'll find this discussion helpful, informative, and challenging. Later in this broadcast, we'll give you contact information on how you can obtain Eric's important resource. To get the conversation started, here's Jan Markell.
Father, your warrior prepares for battle. Today, I claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God which you have given me. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. By faith, your warrior has put on the whole armor of God. I am prepared to live this day in spiritual victory.
And welcome to the program. We have an interesting hour for you. Satan goes by numerous names: Lucifer, the devil, the prince of darkness, the evil one, Beelzebub. But no matter what name we use to refer to him, he's the enemy of mankind. He is our foe in the most important of all wars, the one for the soul. I am going to be talking about a new book today, and you often hear the voice of Eric Barger on this program as my co-host. He's my guest this hour because he has a book out, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare. And Eric says the battlefield is real and the enemy is determined, and it began in the garden. He says life can be interrupted by the powers of darkness. He says our enemy is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. And we're going to be talking about these issues and related issues. Jill Martin Rishi is in studio with me as well. Eric and Jill, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Jan.
I appreciate it, Jan. Thanks.
Eric, you say most Christians are dressed for the ballroom, not the battlefield. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, we'd like to ignore that Satan is at work, especially when we consider how he might be trying to interfere in our lives. And I've said often that his plan for our Christian life has not changed one iota from the second before we were saved to the present. And that's unsettling to Christians because they like to think that they're done with all that business. But he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his job description. Mm-hmm. Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And in him, of course, we have victory. But there are still these skirmishes and battles even in our Christian life. I think that's the thing. A lot of people just want to try to ignore it, put it away, go about their business and act like Satan doesn't exist. And that, if I was him, would be my goal, to get Christians to think that he was no big deal and that he didn't exist and he wasn't still trying to undermine them and their efforts. And really, that's what he wants to do. He wants to get us to be less than what Jesus paid the price for us at the cross to be in our earthly lives.
Well, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But I think some people wonder, and sometimes I do too, I mean, just how do we resist the devil? I mean, he's quite an influencer, so how do you resist?
Well, there are many things we can do. You know, obviously, being people of the Word of God, our hearts close to God, staying away from influences and things that would drag us the other direction. And there are lots of things as we live in fallen flesh. There are things that are going to draw us the wrong direction. And really, we make choices. And James 4:7 is one of several passages I quote to really just kind of prove that we're in a spiritual war. Because, again, it's a sad thing that this this point in time that we have to remind people that we're in a spiritual, I'm talking Christian people, that we're in a spiritual war. You know, the devil has the world already. Why would he go and try to take ground he already has? He's trying to dissuade the church and to really put up all kinds of opposition to us. And there's all kinds of ways he does that. But I think for us to keep the word of God first and foremost, to understand the weaponry that we've been given, especially the word of God. And there are elements all through the book and chapters on the different things that I believe that Christians can use that we have at our disposal to have personal victory on a momentary and on a lifetime basis, both.
Christians are facing battle on two fronts. We're facing the battle from the outside, the occult, satanic weapons. And on the inside, we're facing sin. Our nature has been corrupted by sin, and we are weakened because of it. So yes, Eric, I absolutely agree that the time spent in the Word of God, knowing Him better. I always think of those words at the end of the ages that Jesus will say to some, and that is, I never knew you. So what does it mean to know Him? It means to have a close personal relationship with Him, to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So yes, we need to study the Bible, spend time talking to Him directly and listening for Him.
Eric, you indicate that it's hard to strike a balance on this topic, spiritual warfare. And again, folks, the book is Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare. You indicate it's hard to strike a balance because some see a demon under every rock and others ignore spiritual warfare completely. And who knows, maybe our pulpits or our radio programs aren't talking about spiritual warfare. It's hard to know, but how do you strike that balance?
I think really honestly, it starts with us realizing the weight of Scripture, especially New Testament, that deals with these issues. And it's not there just to fill up pages. It's there for us to understand. When Jude verse 3 says we're to contend for the faith, that's another passage that speaks loud and clear that if the faith wasn't under attack, and thus those who provide the world with the understanding of Christianity, that would be the church, if it wasn't under attack, why would we be told to contend for it? Just like James 4:7, you mentioned 1 Peter 5:8, he's like a roaring lion. That tells me he can't get everybody. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's not going to be able to do the same things to people who understand the truths of God's word about these issues and about their place in the world and what we're to be doing. There are souls hanging in the balance out there, and really it's up to the church to make the decision that we're going to be the people God called us to be, to do what He left us here to do. And that's really what this book is about. I want to say this too, right here in the beginning, that this book is not about demonology. It does not focus necessarily on Satan, on demons, on that kind of thing. This is about personal victory for the Christian. This is about what our role is to be. And yes, we've got to understand the enemy. No general would ever go to war without arming his tenants and his soldiers and so on, sergeants, with the understanding of who the enemy is, how he operates, how he might counterattack, what his weapons are. So we need to know those things. But the first and foremost focus for us, and I know all three of us will concur, and hopefully every listener listening who's a born-again Christian would concur, the most important thing is knowing Jesus and loving Him and serving Him and understanding what He's done for us. And we start there, and then we move out and realize that that war is still there, because the New Testament clearly teaches that we are all in a spiritual war. And like I said, it's sad I have to remind the church of that at this point in time, but I know there are people out there who are not hearing any of this stuff in their pulpits.
That's right.
The pulpits are silent because the pulpits are teaching feel-good gospels in so many occasions. Not all, of course, but some, and a growing number have decided to run away from this topic or anything like it because it's viewed as a negative and it's anti-church growth. That's what they're told anyway. Mm-hmm. And we've decided just to ignore this part. Just like people ignore eschatology, well, they're going to ignore this too.
Death by church growth, as you write about. Mm-hmm. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. And we have a three-way discussion going today with Eric Barger, Jill Martin Rishi, who's the daughter of Dr. Walter Martin, and myself, because it's centered around Eric's newest book, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare. I want to play a real quick soundbite. It happens to be Dr. David Jeremiah, because I think we need to remind everybody that Satan is no match for God. We need to be respectful, but we don't go to any kind of an extreme here. But Satan is not as powerful as God. My goodness, that's the, I think, a huge point that we need to keep in mind. He's not all-knowing. He's not all-powerful. But, Eric, he's messing up a lot of lives.
How powerful is Satan? The Bible says that men are held captive by the power of Satan until delivered from it by the power of the Savior. The world is held captive by Satan. In 2 Thessalonians 2:9, we read, "The workings of Satan come with all power and signs and lying wonders." While we must never underestimate Satan's power, we also cannot make the opposite error of believing that Satan is as powerful or equally powerful than Almighty God. Satan is not, never will be, all-knowing and all-powerful. So don't think, okay, I've got God over here and he's all-powerful for good, and I got Satan over here and he's all-powerful for evil. That's not really true. Satan is no match for God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is God who lives in you than Satan who lives in the world. So while it is true, we need to be respectful and we need to learn and we need not to be frivolous about the power of Satan. We need to be careful that we don't go to the other extreme and say, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Satan's after me.
We do not need to be afraid. I think whenever you come to a subject like this, the initial response is fear, which is why I like what you put on the cover, Eric, which is fearless, you know, fearless conquerors, mm-hmm. because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I love that verse. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We have already won, and we need to recognize and remember that we have that power, that authority Jesus gave us in his name to come against this darkness, and they will flee from us. Satan is only a created being. He cannot match the Creator.
I think we need to keep that in balance too, Jill. I think we need to really keep that perspective. I agree with what Dr. Jeremiah said in the clip, in the fact that Satan is no match for God. He is the second most powerful being in the universe, but he's not the most powerful. Yeah. And I always quote that verse, greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And if we're in Christ, we might be experiencing trouble and turmoil, and some of it we might have brought on by our fleshly selves, but we have victory in Jesus Christ as we hide ourselves in him, if you will. That doesn't mean we hide. It means that in him we are powerful as we walk as a believer. You know, I think a lot of Christians, they just don't want to have any of the trappings of war around them. They don't want any of the impact of war. They don't want to be under attack. Well, I got news for you, folks. As long as we live and breathe in these bodies, there is going to be a war waged against those who are doing what God has asked us to do, as has really called us to do. And as Dr. Jeremiah kind of run up against this in that clip, you know, this isn't something, there's no conscientious objectors in spiritual warfare. I write that early in the book. You know, we want to think that if we just don't go out and try to take ground away from Satan, that he'll somehow leave us alone. That's not the way this works. We have been called to do something that takes action. It takes courage. And it also takes us really digging into the Word of God and knowing what we believe, and the things that it teaches us about who we are and how we operate are so important. But we never give Satan the position that he's somehow on par with God. He doesn't have God's characteristics. He's not omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, etc. He is powerful, but who is greater? That's the question. And that, of course, we have the answer.
Eric, what is the Christian's most powerful tool when engaging the enemy? You relate a story in this book on page 45, actually concerning a demon-possessed gal that you encountered. Talk to us about that.
Many years ago, and I look back now and realize that God was helping to educate me in those early days. Melanie and I were just, we were green, both as Christians and green in the ministry, and it was back in the 1980s. And I went to hear an American evangelist, and I was living right close to the Canadian border in Washington State at the time. And we went up to Vancouver, and British Columbia, that is, and we went to hear this evangelist. And at the end of the meeting, Melanie had a couple letters back and forth to his wife before I got saved. And she had been asking for prayer, and they were, you know, they were people who had answered these letters to her. And so she felt this connection with them. And long story, but I was now a Christian, and we were waiting to see them just to shake hands and say hello, and then we were going to leave. And I'm watching as this particular evangelist is standing out in the middle of a large foyer at the Queen Elizabeth Theater, and he's having a pretty agitated conversation with what turns out to be a 16-year-old girl who was maybe 5 feet tall. And as I'm watching this, I'm sitting on the side, or way over to the side, and I'm watching this, and she suddenly attacks him. And she starts, I mean, this is a little girl. She starts backing him up. She has him by the throat. Now, I could give you all the gory details, folks. We don't need to get into them. But by the time I got to them, and I immediately just instinctively got up and ran toward them, I'm trying to restrain her. It took three of us to restrain her finally. And this was the beginning of what turned out that evening to be about a two and a half hour deliverance session. I'd never been involved in anything like that. But during that deliverance session, the evangelist who was doing it, who was the fellow that got attacked, he held a Bible up in front of her face. She was completely demonically possessed at that point in time. And she tried to break away from us when the Bible was held up. He talked about the cross, and she tried to break away, of course. And then he said, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. I've never seen since or before, I had never seen any kind of outbreak like I watched when the blood of Jesus Christ was invoked in that deliverance session. And it showed me something that I've always drawn back on. Satan is most afraid of a Christian who understands the power of what happened at the cross by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a demarcation line between freedom and complete hopelessness. It is the place where we have been set free when Jesus shed his blood. And I think the blood of Jesus Christ, and of course we learned this from the Word of God, so people could argue that the Word of God is the most powerful weapon. And I would never argue with somebody who says that. I believe, though, in the Word of God, that the blood of Jesus Christ is a weapon of warfare that if we invoke it in the name of Jesus and understand who we're saying that about, that we're a part of Him, that something really awesome happens in the spirit realm, and we can't lose sight of that.
Okay, but the average listener right now, if they were to encounter this, what would you advise them to do?
They're no different than I was then, nor now. We're all humans. We're all trying to make our way along. We see through a glass darkly. We don't have all the answers all the time. I wish I had the recall that that I see others. I always marvel at people who have great recall, and I've had those things said to me, and I at the same time, I just feel so insufficient sometimes. But I recognize no matter where I might be insufficient, He is more than sufficient. If I stand in Him, that He will not only give me the answers at the time when I need them, He'll give me the expression of what to say and how to say it and what to do. All God is looking for are willing participants to do His will. And remember, folks, this isn't just so that we can say, wow, we're demon busters. We got that one. This is about the souls that are at stake. And that young girl, the pastor that I was sitting under at the time in Whatcom County, Washington, that young girl on several occasions had occasion to meet with him, and she came to Jesus Christ. That young girl up there in Vancouver. And that's really the great end to that story.
Yep.
And she had lots of interference. She'd been involved in a satanic coven out in central British Columbia. I mean, she told us stories that I won't repeat here on the air that are just hair-raising and awful things. And yet, you know, she can have victory. We can all find victory. If you're listening right now, folks, you can have victory in Jesus Christ. It's about you making the decision and the choice that you're not going to let anything stand in the way between you and what He wants for you.
Here's how you get this new book by Eric Barger, Disarming the Powers of Darkness. You can order online at ericbarger.com, ericbarger.com. Again, All Tree Ministries not carrying it, so you need to get it through Eric's ministry. You can call 214-289-5244, 214-289-5244. Kindly don't call here, but if we'll give this number again throughout the program. You can all go to ericbarger.com to get the book. I'm coming back in just a couple of minutes. We're going to continue on with our discussion on disarming the powers of darkness. A lot of related issues, questions that I still have. I've read the book almost completely, and I think it is timely. I think that we are in a battle, and a matter of fact, we're in a war, almost a nuclear war, and we need to put our armor on. Of course, that's what the Bible says in Ephesians 6:12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. So we'll continue our discussion in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
Disarming the Powers of Darkness. Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual War. That's the title of Eric Barger's new book, and it's also the subject of today's edition of Understanding the Times Radio. You can purchase Eric's new release when you call 214-289-5244. Again, the order number, 214-289-5244. Just a reminder, Olive Tree Ministries is not carrying this title. One more time, the phone number to get your copy of Disarming the Powers of Darkness, 214-289-5244. A few more quick reminders. This program is posted to our website every Saturday morning. You can download our weekly broadcast and listen at any time at your convenience. To order an audio copy of today's broadcast, just phone 763-559-4444. And we get our mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Again, thanks for joining us today. We'll be right back with more conversation in just a moment. We are finalizing our 21st Understanding the Times Conference for October 7 at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, just outside of Minneapolis. Please consider joining us from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. There is no cost or registration needed, but you need to make hotel reservations early. Meet believers from across America who take our time seriously but have a hope and expectancy many do not have. Our speakers include Amir Sarfati.
Thessalonians chapter 4, he says, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we that are alive will be caught up in the air. In other words, he was completely sure it's going to happen in his lifetime. And that's the way we should live, as if it is going to happen at any given minute.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
And to me, that's a great picture of Bible prophecy for us. Knowing what's coming gives you peace of mind. And the Bible tells us that prophecy has a calming influence on our lives.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
That's not to be dismissive of the seriousness of what's happening in the world today. But thankfully, we have prophecy in the Bible that tells us not only what's going to happen at the time of the end, but why it's going to happen and where it's going to lead. And by the way, spoiler alert, we win.
Michelle Bachman.
These people don't give up. That's what we don't understand. That is everything for them, is their strategy to get to one world government. And they will do anything, including lawless actions, to get there.
Visit our website for details, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Or call us at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Helping you stay informed on issues that could change your life.
What kind of power does Satan have?
So Satan is very powerful, but he's also a defeated foe. The Bible says in Revelation 12:12, he may do super normal things, but only God can do supernatural things. He is a limited being, God is a limitless being. So he's finite, God is infinite. So even though in this time he has a lot of power and persuasion as he roars around like a roaring lion seeking those whom he may devour, masquerades as an angel of light, he's still a defeated foe.
He can work where we open the door or allow him to.
On Understanding the Times today, we're unpacking Eric Barger's new publication, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual War. Jill Martin Rishi is joining Jan Markell to discuss this new ministry tool with Eric. Now, let's return to their conversation.
But what we're going to talk about is how do you do battle with the enemy and win? This is not far out. This is not crazy. This is maybe rare, but it does happen. Now, there's four facts you need to know. There's four facts that before we talk about this, you absolutely need to know. Follow along. Fact number one, God has objectively defeated Satan and his agenda. He has delivered us from sin's penalty and power, and ultimately will deliver us from sin's very presence. That's a fact. In the interim, we're involved in guerrilla warfare with demonic forces.
And that's kind of what we're talking about for the hour. And I have in studio Eric Barger, a frequent co-host. Today's kind of my guest, as would be Jill Martin Rishi. And we're bouncing off topics and questions from Eric Barger's new book, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare. And before we get right back to that, let me just say that this weekend I am starting a new class, a summer seminar series class, every Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. This is for my Twin Cities audience primarily. be meeting Sunday evenings, June, July, August, at the Kehillat Sar Shalom Messianic Congregation in St. Louis Park on Rhode Island Avenue. No cost, no registration, plenty of seats. This is the Old Twin City Fellowship Church in St. Louis Park. Come on out. June, July, August, except July 4th weekend, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Kehillat Sar Shalom. We're renting these facilities, so coming out, we'll take a free will offering to cover the rental cost, and otherwise there's no cost to you. No registration will be every Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. I want to get right back to our topic of interest, quite frankly, and intrigue, with Eric and Joel Martin Rishi is in studio with me. Eric, what do you think Satan can do in our lives? How much do you think he can interfere? How much power do you think he can have? In other words, some would tell you, and Jill, please weigh into this too, that Satan can even make us ill. What are your thoughts on this?
If we open a door, the possibility of that is there. I'm not one of those people who would ever say, aha, you sinned and that's why you're sick, because we hear that and we simply know that doesn't hold water. That's become a popular teaching in some quadrants of the church. I don't buy that. But he can work where we open the door or allow him to. He can only do what he is allowed to do. Let's keep that in mind too. He's not a freewheeler getting to do whatever he wants. We see that from scripture. He is only allowed to do so much. But I think that the most important thing is not how much he can do, how little we can allow him to do should be our goal. Not just try to stretch it, and there are people out there that would like to stretch it and have, you know, best of both worlds, live in the flesh, live in the world, do what they want to do in the world, and then believe that they're believers or Christians as well. That's not going to cut it. That's going to give him all kinds of room. Mm-hmm. I believe he loves to work in the abstract, and he loves us to be ignorant of his devices. And I'm quoting directly from 2 Corinthians 2:11, where the Apostle Paul warns us that we are never to be ignorant about these things. Now, it appears to me, and I know we harp on this quite a bit, Jan and Jill, but you know, it appears to me that what happens is because the pulpits are silent on these issues, basically just kind of like Geraldine from the Flip Wilson era, the devil made me do it. Mm-hmm. That's as much talk or teaching that some congregations ever hear about Satan or demons or hell or judgment or any of these issues, because they stay away from those things. They want a nice, light, happy, feel-good message or a life application message. And some of that is fine, but not all of it and not all the time. And we become spiritually ignorant along the way.
Well, let me ask it of Jill. And Jill has a 700-page book out on the occult, which is kind of a little bit different topic, because this today is spiritual warfare. But let me ask you, Jill, how much power do you think Satan has over us?
His power is limited. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 5, where Paul is taking to task the church and saying, there is a man who claims to be part of you, and he has taken his father's wife. Now turn him over to Satan for the salvation of, for the destruction of his body and the salvation of his soul. So there you go. And that's exactly what you were saying, Eric, is there has to be a door that opens. I don't believe that God is ever hands off, that Satan can run and do everything that he wants to do and God is hands off. No.
That's right.
So I think it's limited. I think we need to not be in fear of these things, but to study and to grow in our faith.
You know, let me add too that I think there are folks that are saying, well, I pray every day. I read the Word of God. I'm not allowing these influences. I shut these things out. I speak against them, as well as in my experiential life, I don't operate in these wrong areas. And yet I have all these other things going on in my life that appear to be Satan working. You know, to that person, I would just say, it rains on the just and the unjust. We still live in a fallen world. We are, literally, we are soldiers behind enemy lines as Christians, when you understand that Satan is the god of this world and that teaching, and of course, there's more to it than just that. I don't have all the answers, and I don't know that any of us can just unequivocally say in black and white, this is why, or that is why, or this is how much, or that is how much. It's going to be different for each of us. But the advice I have for all of us is that whether you're under attack or not, stay close to the Lord in all ways. Be a worshiper. Be a person of the Word. Be a person of prayer. Keep your heart and mind in the right place. Don't let your eyes and mind wander. And there are know, so many distractions in the world today.
Well, Eric, does it come down to James 4:7? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
That's got a lot of the answers right there. Submitting yourself to God is the first thing in the passage, and I bring that out.
Let me play a quick soundbite. This is Chip Ingram, pastor out in California, and I think he brings up a good point, and I'd like to discuss it. And he says, when God is preparing us for a great work for his glory, the devil's going to interrupt and attack, and then we know God is up to something, because there's going to be a great spiritual attack whenever we are going to do something for the kingdom. And as Pastor Ingram says, all hell is going to literally break loose. I'm wondering how many listeners are thinking right now in their life, all hell is literally breaking loose, and they don't know how to fight back against the evil one.
Let me give you a few times when you may find yourself engaging in frontal assault by the enemy. First is when we're taking significant steps of faith for spiritual growth. A second time is when we're invading enemy territory. When you're in evangelism, maybe you're on a missions trip. Maybe you're involved at something with your church where you're reaching out to other people or sharing Christ with a neighbor or a friend. Third time when this may happen is when we're exposing him for who he really is. I've taught this series a couple times, and when I think about teaching it, I'll tell you this, for the last 3.5 weeks since I began to teach this, I say this reverently. All hell has been breaking loose. And that's not a cuss word. That's just a reality of demonic opposition in ways that I don't have time to tell you about. But I knew it was coming, because when you disrobe him and you become a part of letting other people see demonic spirits for what's going on, you get some shots. Another time is when you repent and make a clean break with the world and a long-held sin pattern or an unholy relationship. Another time here is when God is preparing us individually or corporately for a great work for his glory. Often one of the things that lets you know that God is up to something is when there's great spiritual attack. And you don't know exactly why. Tell you what, in the unseen world, they often know what things are happening more than we do. So there are times when these things are going to happen. Here's the question. Once you're wearing your spiritual armor, and yet you find yourself bombarded by spiritual opposition, how do you engage the enemy and win the battle?
Eric Barger, how would you answer that?
I think we hold up the standard of the Word of God against the enemy. For those who just think that ignoring Satan, if he's on the attack mode against us, and of course, I think he's always looking for an inroad, and he's looking for a place where he can operate and then see if he can do his damage to us to discourage us, if nothing else. But I believe with all of my heart that we have the example from the Word of God, and you have to just about take a razor blade and cut the book of Mark out of your Bible if you believe that spiritual warfare is not real and Satan doesn't exist and all those things. And that's sadly what some seminaries and some denominations have done, let alone a lot of pulpits. And we need to be people who understand these things. And again, it's not that we focus on them, but that we understand them, focusing on the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords instead. But we have the sword of the Spirit. That's one of the elements of the armor of God. And yes, we have the shield of faith to deflect the fiery darts of the wicked one. And I teach on this. I've got a new DVD on this as well, 7 Weapons That Win the War. That's basically what it's about. 7 different distinct things that came out of the book. You know, we start with the blood. We start with our confession of the Word of God. We are people of prayer. We are people of praise. I think praise is a terrific weapon of warfare. And I think you probably read the chapter on praise, Jan and Jill. And so that's, to me, a very important chapter, that as we worship God, it's amazing what happens in the spirit realm as we worship him, how the enemy's power is decreased, and now he is decapitated from having that ability. And so it really comes back to us making a decision to follow the instructions of the Word.
Yes, I think if we look at Jesus and see how he handled things, he, of course, is the greatest warrior. And his interaction with evil was frequent, and it was confrontational. In fact, he had a 3-year ministry, and there are only 4 Gospels, and 3 out of the 4 Gospels, there are 27 passages showing how Jesus confronted and defeated evil. He defeated them in every single one of those passages. And that is where our hope and our encouragement comes from. He has already won. We have that power. We need to study to show ourselves approved, grasp that power, stand in the joy of the Lord, and fight.
Here's how you get a hold of this new book, Eric's new book, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors, and Spiritual Warfare. ericbarger.com would be the most convenient, ericbarger.com. If you want to call, don't call Olive Tree. I'd have you call Eric's ministry at 214-289-5244. Again, that's not Olive Tree Ministries. We are not carrying it, so you need to call Eric at 214-289-5244. Okay, let's move on to some more topics here while we still have the time. Eric, you relate in the book an interesting experience you had, and I think some listeners will identify with this, and that is you were teaching at a particular facility. I've had this experience, by the way, and I really appreciated how you gave the narration as to what happened. Why don't you talk to us about what happened, because you felt serious, let's say, interference.
Well, I've been invited to speak at a large Midwestern public university, and a college Christian group had brought me in, and they had made arrangements to have the largest hall there on the campus. And I'm backstage praying with the fellow who really led the way and did all the communications with me to bring me into this place. And I also want to say this was Halloween night, and I think
wonderful.
It was Halloween night 1990, if I remember correctly. So it's been quite a while ago, but it's vivid in my mind. I'm backstage praying, and I come out and I begin to speak, and the place is reasonably full. And we know that there are going to be believers and non-believers both. We had a lot of believers in the audience. I knew that. But as I began to speak, it was like I was in a fog. I couldn't read the scriptures.
Yeah,
I mean,
I
would stumble. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. A lot of people who are listening, who are speakers, pastors, etc., they would know this has happened to us. It wasn't just me, though. It wasn't that I was having a bad night or I couldn't focus on the words for some physical reason. This was a spiritual thing. And I was feeling the spiritual opposition. And it was back in the days when I was using overhead transparencies, and it was like I'd turn a transparency over and I couldn't coagulate the thing. And I knew my presentation. I'm there speaking on the occult and on Satan and on what he does and about Halloween and so on. And I just stopped maybe 5, maybe 10, but probably more like 5 minutes into the presentation. I said, folks, I am feeling attack here. I am feeling opposition, and I want to pray. And I began to pray, and during my prayer, I said something like, if there are people who have come, Lord, who are here to disrupt and to stop this presentation, by the name of Jesus Christ, they will not be able to do it. I said something like that, and I invoked the power of the blood. I remember that. And when I finished, I was kind of shocked. It was like somebody had scored a goal in soccer or something, and all of a sudden, everybody just applauded and clapped, and I'm going, wow. And as I went back to the presentation, everything felt normal, and I was on point again, and it began to flow, and I finished the presentation, and I believe there was great victory there that night, and went off the stage as I finished, and the fellow who had brought me in stopped me and said, do you know what just happened out there? And I said, well, I'm not sure what you're talking about exactly. And he said, well, while we were back here praying, the Satanist coven here on this campus, who is very visible on this campus, they all paraded in, and they sat in the second and third rows right in front of you. And when you came back out and began the presentation, there they were. And you didn't know it, of course, and I didn't know it, but I sure knew that somebody was there who was trying to oppose it. And someone was there probably speaking curses, throwing curses, those kind of things. It was just the time to stop and do some warfare. And that's all I did in that prayer. It wasn't like I said, oh, now's the time I'm going to go after them. It wasn't like that. This was, I knew something was up and I wasn't going to be stopped. God's word wasn't going to be stopped. This presentation wasn't going to be impeded. And there was great victory. And it taught me another lesson that, you know, you have to be sensitive to those things. And if I'll tell you what, if you weren't sensitive to that at that point in time, if I wasn't sensitive to it, I'll never be sensitive to anything because it was so blatantly obvious. There are other occasions where there's opposition where I think we have to really be sensitive to what God might be saying to us to do and how to how to fight those things at those points in time.
Well, you brought up an extremely important topic, and that would be the power in the blood. There's more to that than just the fact that it's a hymn that we often sing.
Absolutely.
But the power there, Jill.
Well, the precious blood of Jesus, right, cleanses us from all sin. The power of his gift of salvation to us, that we are clean before him. We are his children, and he will stand by us and fight. That's why, you know, scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. A lot of times when things come against you, there's something behind behind that. Not every time. As my father used to say, there's not a demon behind every lamppost and under every bench. So it's not always that. But we are definitely fighting against something that is more than just human. And we need to step back whenever you feel overwhelmed or you feel battered by the things coming at you in your life. Step back, pray, get people to pray for you, because more than likely, as my father said, there's the smell of sulfur in the air.
You know, I think 90% of spiritual warfare is personal victory. And if we turn that around and we think 90% is fighting demons, we have really missed what this is all about, because
yeah, there has to be balance, right?
Exactly. Balance. And our personal victory leads to the salvation and deliverance of others. There are captives out there counting on us to know what we believe and know what to do. They don't know it, maybe, but they are really counting on us to know it. So we have to understand it from that angle, that the victory is in Jesus Christ. And as we walk in that victory, we may encounter demonic activity, direct activity. I mean, all evil in the world is a result of at least indirect activity from the Garden of Eden, indirect, you know, satanic influence or interference. But we walk in Him. That's the most important thing. We walk in Him. We war in His name. We are soldiers under command. We are not just footloose, fancy free to do what we want to do. We follow His directives. And if we do that, it's amazing. It's amazing the victory that comes
our way. Well,
Eric,
you have some ground rules for spiritual warfare, so I want to talk about those in our closing segment. Again, folks, get Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare. I do recommend it. I've read most of the book. It's Eric's newest book. EricBarger.com. You can call 214-289-5244, 214-289-5244. That's not Olive Tree, so can't call here because we can't help you. But I'm coming back in a couple of minutes, and we'll wrap this up.
Every weekend, Understanding the Times Radio goes coast to coast to help you discern the days in which we live through a biblical lens. Well over 800 radio stations now partner with us to help proclaim the truth and give our listeners what they need to know in these last days. You can stay in touch with this broadcast ministry. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook. Social media contact information can be found at olivetreeviews.org. Also at olivetreeviews.org, you can sign up for our newsletters and our weekly podcast. Reach us by phone at 763-559-4444. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In just a moment, we'll return to the conclusion of today's discussion.
I have often called Understanding the Times Radio, Radio for the Remnant. Around the world, people have had enough of fake news, slanted news, and evidence that good people are marginalized and unappreciated. That is why this program focuses on the truth and the ultimate good news. If you would like to keep it coming to your neighborhood, please consider a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries. Give online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can call us business hours, Central Time, 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or just drop us a note. If you can't financially support, let us know we make a difference in your life. Write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Help us look at today, but with another eye on tomorrow and the ultimate hope that awaits us.
You know, the church has abdicated its responsibility to see the captives be set free. Seven times in the New Testament Gospels, we have Jesus saying to the disciples to go out and preach the gospel, pray for the sick, and cast out devils. We maybe do one of those things, but we don't do very well with the other two, and we're almost non-existent with the third.
Understanding the Times continues. Don't forget, you can order your own copy of Eric Barger's new release, Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare, when you call 214-289-5244. Now, with our final segment, here's Jan Markell.
Now, let me tell you about his purposes. What does Satan want to do? This is very interesting because it explains a lot of things that happen in religious circles. Here are some of his most effective strategies. First of all, Satan is the great deceiver. Say that with me. Satan is the great deceiver. He is the great deceiver. John 8:44, we read these words. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he's the father of it. Satan is the father of lies. He's the great deceiver. Revelation 12:9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. Have you ever stopped to realize the power of satanic deception? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're trying to help them understand what God has done for them, how he loves them, how he's given their son, and there just seems like a blindness that's in front of you. They don't understand. They don't get it. Maybe they don't want to, but they have been deceived by the enemy. That's what Satan does primarily. He's the deceiver. He started his work in the garden, remember, when he deceived Eve, so that Eve then deceived her husband. And sin was born in the garden, as we read in the first chapters of Genesis. Satan, as a deceiver, is the great counterfeiter. He's the great mimic. You know what Satan does? He does everything that God does. He tries to do everything God does. He wants to be like God. Remember, he said, I will be like the Most High God. So when you watch Satan in his work today in the world, you shouldn't be surprised at this. Everything that Christ has done, everything the Lord has done, Satan tries to do it.
And we're talking about issues that are related to that little soundbite, Pastor David Jeremiah. So we're talking about disarming the powers of darkness. And that's a new book Eric Barger has written. By the way, this program is posted to my website every Saturday morning. We've got 5 years of programming at olivetreeviews.org. So if you can't catch the program on the radio, it's always available at olivetreeviews.org. Get a CD of any program. You can become a CD subscriber. And the manager of our Facebook and Twitter is in studio as well, Jill Martin Rishi, daughter of Dr. Walter Martin. Eric, we need to kind of wrap things up here, and there's so much we could still talk about as it concerns the powers of darkness and what they're trying to do against us. And part of the problem we're dealing with, Eric, is that many Christian leaders, pastors, etc., they're denying the concept of hell. They're not talking about spiritual warfare. We've got the emergent church fellows who are almost denying the fact that there is a hell. They say they're not going to talk about it. Well, sometimes just your average church down the street's not going to talk about it.
Yeah, there's a growing movement out there to speak out against hell. And of course, the internet is full of those sites. Yeah. The book, The Shacks, didn't help things, as Paul Young doesn't believe that hell is eternal, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of churches don't want to get involved. They don't want to talk about these things. It would give their church a bad name. You know, the church has abdicated its responsibility to see the captives be set free, Jan and Jill. Mm-hmm. 7 times in the New Testament gospel, we have Jesus saying to the disciples to go out and preach the gospel, pray for the sick, and cast out devils. We maybe do one of those things, but we don't do very well with the other two, and we're almost non-existent with the third. And so we just need to go back and say, we're going to operate as the church operated. And the most important thing is not the perception of the community or the fear that we might have a newspaper reporter in the audience and something like this happens, but that the person who walks in the door, who is being inflicted, whether it's possession or oppression, but something, if he's inflicted by the enemy, we want him to walk out free in Jesus Christ. You know, just like I say about my book, it's 150 pages. By the way, it's hardbound, and I'm really pleased with the book. We took a lot of time to do a lot of updating in the book and to make it really pliable and the most that I think it can be at the size it is. But it's not the end-all of all end-alls on spiritual warfare. And everybody, I think, needs input on these things. Some people, though, Jan, are not getting any input about it, and they have no concept of any of the ground rules for spiritual warfare, which is one of the chapters that I deal with in the book.
Yeah, well, that's an important, the basic ground rules for spiritual warfare is extremely important, and I teased about that in the, what would be a couple of key bullet points there, Eric?
Well, we've already gone through a couple of them, but they always bear repeating. We be people of the Word of God, that we hide the Word in our hearts, that we would not sin against God, and that we wouldn't just sit around and say, you know, I'm a Christian and everything's fine, I'm going to make it to heaven, but that we understand to go out and to do something with what we know. It's one thing to be hearers. We better be doers of the Word. Spiritual warfare is about seeing captives set free, and one thing I've said, this is how I end the DVD teaching that I do on this, and my live teaching when I go out in churches and conferences, is that I guarantee you that as you fight spiritual warfare, people are going to be set free. God is going to honor that by seeing captives saved and set free. This is just the way this has worked. And I've taught on this for 23, 4, 5 years, long time. I've been teaching on this out in public, and I've seen it over and over. As we make the decision that we're going to follow the edicts and commands of Scripture, and that means we put feet to what we know and actually do what we say, God sets people free. And that's my heart cry. I'm part evangelist, part teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't know, somewhere in there. And that's always been my heart cry. So to do what the Word says, to stand with the doctrines of the faith, to live in the whole armor of God. And I point out that the elements of the armor of God are really just the Christian life as you go through those elements. To stay in balance and recognize that us being victors in spiritual warfare isn't about chasing demons around in parking lots. It's not about that. It's about really seeing captives set free. And that's the key.
And Eric, you talk about when someone senses that they're under spiritual attack. I guarantee you 90% of our listeners right now probably sense they're under spiritual attack. Maybe not at this moment, but they have very recently felt they've been under spiritual attack. Maybe it's oppression. Maybe it's depression. Talk to us about what steps can be taken to sort of deflect that attack.
You know, I remember back to one of our Understanding the Times conferences.
Yeah, and I know where you're going.
I think it was 2010, but yeah. It was during the Q&A period. Gary Cobb was to my to my right, and he was asked a question by someone in
Me.
The
Probably.
You repeated the question that somebody else had brought. But Gary, you deal with all these very heavy issues. What do you do if you're under oppression? And Gary immediately said, I turn to worship and praise. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what happens if we worship and if we praise the Lord. If we make the decision to be worshipers of the Most High God, which we ought to be all the time, by the way, and I point that out in the chapter in the book, which is called The Battle Cry of Praise. It's amazing what happens. I was sitting there, I just couldn't wait for Gary to finish and ask for the microphone, because I was going to say, everything Gary just said is exactly what I do too, and we had never talked about it before. We have talked about it since, because we both had the same experience that when we feel oppressed, and believe me, in dealing with all the stuff that we deal with, Jill knows this, you know it, because we deal with the world of the occult, we deal with the heavy issues. When we're under attack, you know, I know that worship and praise is the answer. I've never seen a Christian sit and worry while they're honestly worshiping. You can't do this both at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. And so we need to be people who understand the power of praise and worship. And that's the title of an old book that was maybe instrumental in part of my thinking on this. But I can tell you that it works, and it's a great thing to do. It is from the Scriptures, and the Scriptures teach clearly about worship and praise. You can go back to Jehoshaphat and the three enemy pagan tribes in the wilderness who were going to attack him. He was greatly outnumbered, but instead they worshipped. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how God then brought the victory and the way it happened there in the Old Testament. And the same is true for us today. And I know Jill has something to say about
this. Well, Jill, you wrote a 700-page book on the occult. And I've asked you this before on air. I've said before on air, and you've replied that when you wrote those 700 pages, you did not necessarily feel under oppression.
Not really at all. That's what I love, Erica, when you say the battle cry of praise. That's what I did. That's what Kurt Van Gordon did, who worked with me on the book. We just praised God. And anyone who knew my father, they knew Walter Martin. He went around singing and praising God. And he did that a lot. And the powers of darkness are real. They come at us, and they should engender a healthy respect, but they remain in subjection to us and to the church through the power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay, well, folks, let me just give you the book information one more time, then we're going to sum up here. The title is Disarming the Powers of Darkness, Fearless Conquerors in Spiritual Warfare. You need to get it at ericbarger.com. I'll give you the phone number one more time. This is not the Olive Tree number, so don't call here, but if you could call this following number, you can order the book at 214-289-5244, 214-289-5244. Eric, why don't you sum things up, then I'm going to close.
Well, the scripture tells us to examine our hearts and minds, and I think it's healthy for us to examine to make sure that we have closed all the doors that we understand that might be cracked open for Satan to work in. He is not the most powerful being in the universe, as all three of us have enumerated in different ways in this program. But God is more powerful, and if we are standing in Jesus Christ, the victory is ours. Whenever things get really tough, I just remember in who I believe, and I know where I'm going for all eternity. And by the way, I know where Satan is going too. And when I think of those things, and I understand that the one who's trying to intimidate me, the one who is trying to oppress me, the one who is trying to come against me, he cannot be the end victor. Jesus Christ is the end victor, and if I stand in him, all is well.
Eric and Joel, thank you for coming in today. Let me just go out of the program saying, Jesus Christ shed blood achieves the once for all defeat of Satan. Rest in the knowledge that if the blood of Christ sealed Satan's doom, it was certainly enough to seal us in God. The blood and the name of Christ are the weapons for a victorious warfare. Call on his name today. Tomorrow may be too late. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Highest praises, honor and glory be unto your name. Be unto your name.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach the world by reporting current events from a biblical perspective. Costing us thousands of dollars, this listener-supported program is delivered each weekend nationwide and into your home. You can help us produce and distribute this broadcast. We invite you to partner with this ministry. With our ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to be aware of current events as reported and discussed through the lens of Scripture. With a blessed hope in view, each week, Jan Markell brings you compelling guest interviews to highlight the dangers in today's world. To become our broadcast partner, please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also help underwrite this program safely and securely at olivetreeviews.org or when you phone 763-559-4444. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for the Olive Tree Ministries team. For daily global updates with a biblical worldview 24 hours a day, log on to olivetreeviews.org. Next week, Jan returns with another program designed to help you understand the times.